This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. When word of Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's plan to end public employee collective bargaining rights for benefits like health insurance and pensions hit the streets this last week, it set off a series of protests around the state. The largest protests have been at the state capitol in Madison, and in an ironic turn of events this week, people from La Crosse found themselves rallying at the capitol on the same day that Governor Walker came to La Crosse as part of a statewide trip to sell his proposal. Bill Motzel of La Crosse is self-employed and drove down to Madison with two other people this week to be part of the protest. He objects to the way he says Governor Walker seems to single-handedly be doing business.
And I came down here because I have a lot of friends that are teachers, and I have a lot of friends that are in unions, and I don't like the way Walker's doing things. It's not the right way to handle any type of politics.
Edward McCann of La Crosse is one of 160 conservation wardens employed by the Department of Natural Resources. He says enforcing natural resources laws 24 hours a day, 365 days of the year, is only possible because of the collective bargaining of his union. McCann says he feels like employees are being left out of the decision-making process.
No one's even sitting down to discuss how to fix problems with the workers. That hasn't occurred. There's no bargaining. It's being dictated to us.
While thousands have been rallying at the state capitol, a smaller crowd, in the hundreds, greeted the governor when he made an appearance at La Crosse Business this week. Walker says no one should be surprised by his proposal. He says he's been talking about cutting public employee benefits since the election season. He defends his plan, saying public worker rules in Wisconsin, among the strongest in the nation, that deal with things like merit pay and wrongful firing, will remain in place.
In the public sector, what's going to change is you're going to pay a little bit more for pensions. You're going to pay a little bit more for health care, although you're going to still pay a lot less than the guys at the place like this pay. And you're going to get the benefit of not having your dues automatically deducted from your payroll so you can offset for that. When you show up to work, the work rules you have, the guidelines you have, even the compensation layout that you have will still remain intact at both the state and the local level.
DNR Conservation Warden Edward McCann says he found it interesting that administration officials had conservation wardens in a security role at the state capitol protests, despite the fact they aren't considered public safety workers like police and firefighters. Cops and fire safety are among the public employees who will have all collective bargaining rights protected under the governor's plan. Meanwhile, workers at UW-La Crosse today said they'll still vote next week whether to unionize, regardless of what the legislature does with the governor's budget proposal. Maureen McCollum has the latest.
UW-La Crosse faculty and staff will vote next week whether to join the American Federation of Teachers. At a rally on UWL's campus, faculty and staff made it clear that they want the option to unionize, even if it is decided that state employees can no longer collectively bargain.
Are you ready to work with your colleagues to form a union on the campus, whether the bill passes or not?
Yeah!
You want the community, are you ready to support them in that
effort?
Yeah! Beth Cherney is an associate professor in the UWL Theater Department. She says she does not want to see the collective bargaining right taken away, but if it is, faculty will still try to unionize.
That means that we can still do what we want to do, which is sit down together and figure out the best way to advance education in Wisconsin. The best way to do that is to work together, and that's what we intend to do.
Cherney says she is more than willing to make sacrifices, but she wants to be present during employment negotiations to make sure decisions are made in the interest of students and Wisconsin's future. Workers at UW-Stevens Point, Stout, and River Falls also have an upcoming vote on whether or not to join the AFT.
We should note for the record that Wisconsin Public Radio reporters are State of Wisconsin employees, although they do not belong to any union. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. Some perspective now on the UW-La Crosse vote to unionize and the events of the past week. We turn to UW-La Crosse geography professor George Cravens. He recently left the Association of University of Wisconsin Professionals, or TOP, a statewide group of 600 union members, which has made way for the American Federation of Teachers, which has been attempting to unionize faculty and staff at individual campuses around the state. While he's not involved in the effort to form a union at UWL, Wisconsin Public Radio's Maureen McCollum asked Cravens to weigh in on whether there was a chance to unionize on campus.
My impression is that they have a case, that when the vote is taken, what is it, next week, or that probably the majority, particularly with this new move to strip unions of their, not so much strip unions of their rights, because I don't think unions are that popular per se. I think people are now looking out for themselves, and they realize that they'll be hurt, so they're probably much more interested. So I would say that I would be surprised if they don't win the vote here when it's taken.
If they do vote and it does pass, will it require that all UWL employees join, or they'll just have the option to join the AFT?
All of those who are part of the classification that wins will have to pay something, as I understand it. Union members will pay a certain amount, and the rest of us will pay. You know, if you're part of a union shop, you have to pay. However, under Scott Walker's proposal, you wouldn't be required to pay. Period. As you know, if you look at what he said and the bill that's being debated, so this is all up in the air, Maureen, because we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, his statements are very clear. You would not have to pay dues. You'd have to be recertified by the WRC every year. But the union itself, your representatives, whoever you elect within the union, would not be able to negotiate on anything except salaries. And then that's capped at the cost of living increase, you know. So, you know, I would say that it's all up in the air. We'll have to see how it works out. If it passes, then the only thing people can do is look for the next election.
I was wondering if you could talk about some of the other unionization movements that have gone on other campuses, if you're familiar with them. Eau Claire recently voted to unionize. And Superior as well.
Yeah. The opposition was relatively small. I would say Superior's vote was probably more overwhelming than the one at Eau Claire. But if you look at the votes, and I don't remember what they are exactly, but it was overwhelmingly in favor. You know, the vote for faculty was overwhelmingly in favor of unionization. As far as their strategy, as I told you before, where they go next, I'm pretty sure that Milwaukee is out. Milwaukee, there's no real active effort to bring Milwaukee in to have an election at Milwaukee, and that would make a difference because of the size, you know, the size of the campus and that kind of thing. But are there other campuses where they're working? I would assume River Falls is probably one of them, probably Stevens Point.
So why do you think it's taken a while for it to come to La Crosse? How have these other campuses been able to accomplish this before?
Oh, we have to be very careful. I mean, you know, I was in the trenches enough. I think I visited practically every campus. I was very aggressive at trying to, you know, get people to not only become part of TOP, but also to attend meetings, to, you know, to give us feedback and things like that. And As a whole, faculty members are very, really conservative. I mean, there may be a liberal outlook as far as ideology goes, but very conservative about joining movements and that kind of thing. So even at Platteville, which is the most active TOP chapter ever, I mean, they've always been very active, very strong. Membership's one of the highest. They still haven't taken a vote there yet. But here at La Crosse, I would say under TOP leadership, without preparation, let's say, if we had tried that many years ago, it would have failed. It would have failed by, you know, a clear majority. An overwhelming majority would have voted against it. I think what's happening now is just, you know, there's a combination effect. We've been squeezed now since, what, 2003. I mean, we haven't had any pay increases. If you look at governance looks a heck of a lot weaker as far as faculty governance goes. It's
furlough days, too.
What is it?
And furlough days as well.
Yeah, furlough days from Doyle. I mean, we've just been assaulted. That's right. We've had a cut in the last, under Doyle, so in the last budget cycle. So, you know, it's just things are so difficult. I think that's why you really see they're difficult on the one hand, and there's a leadership that's maybe attractive to people. So combination of those factors, I think, makes the whole possibility, it's likely they're going to vote for it. And I think this is going to happen on many campuses.
And I want to go back to a really basic question. What are some of the benefits and some of the drawbacks for faculty and staff on UW campuses to join a union?
Uh-huh. Good point. Very good point. Well, you know, the staff, there was a very strong anti-union element in the academic staff, and I'm not sure if you're aware of that or not, but at one point, just to move the bill forward, we had to meet with, I met with two of us, one person from AFT and I, we met to try to convince Representative Schilling to support a bill that was before the assembly, because we had people on this campus who actually wrote emails to her, called her, asking her not to vote for a collective bargaining rights bill. So just collective bargaining rights, we had very strong opposition to it among the academic staff. So, you know, I'd say that's pretty major. If that's true, which it was, because I was directly witness to it, that means that a lot of people felt that there must be some downsides. And one of the downsides, you can probably interview them, and if they still believe that, was that they thought the faculty might take off, the faculty might be favored, you know, their pay would go up, they'd be listened to more, and that sort of thing. I have no idea how true that is, because I'm not sure that's how it's worked in other states. I have always been kind of on the fence. I've worked for many, many unions before. Before I came here, I was a member of the SEIU in Massachusetts. I saw some real, I won't exactly say negatives, but some real drawbacks in being a member of the union. I really felt that the union itself, that particular union, did not really, really promote the idea of professionalism, you know, enough, maybe kind of professional, you know, high professional training, high professional levels, looking for really, really high results. I think that may be typical of unions somewhat. But the main thing that I think may be problematic, and I'm not sure exactly because we don't know, we haven't had the benefit of having a union. Although I think having a union would be really something we ought, I think we really ought to have. We certainly have to have somebody with a stronger voice than we have. We failed. I mean, we have to admit we failed. And so we really need to bring voices to the table that are stronger, that are tied to elements off the campus, because just as here on campus, we're not going to, it seems like we're not going to be able to facilitate the rights, you know, and of faculty and staff. The other thing that I think a union would do is a union would be a very, very good support for the kind of political change we might need at the state level. We can't reverse some of the damage that's being done right now by the administration or that will likely be done. Well, we've already seen corporate tax breaks, which is very detrimental in terms of school funding and so on. So I think we have to join together in some kind of group, and I think the union's the only possibility for doing that, to have a voice, even, you know, politically. So I think overwhelmingly that, you know, unions could really do that for us, could really, really, really crystallize a kind of support for education in the state, both at the K-12 level and also at the higher ed level, try to keep the gains we've made over the past 50 years, you know, in education, so that Wisconsin will not become a Mississippi, which is a real concern we have.
And obviously the large issue at the statewide level is unions' ability to collectively bargain. And I don't know what your thoughts are on this. One thing I was wondering is, can the governor say that state unions can mm-hmm. no longer collectively bargain? Is that legal?
Yeah, because he can pass it in the he can pass it through the legislature, both the Senate and the Assembly. As I understand it, state labor relations is governed by state law, which means that any appeal to the Supreme Court, which I did get a call from Madison yesterday and said, oh, we'll go to court. I don't know if people have noticed, but corporate interests have been stacking the Supreme Court the last two elections. You know, we have these elections that are, you know, kind of at a weird time. They're in spring, and that's what's happened two times. I would say, oh, yeah, he has the authority to do it. He has the right to do it. The state passed the enabling law to allow faculty to collectively bargain. They can, and of course, in this case, it's not only academic institutions. It's also a lot of garbage workers. It's maybe members of the DNR. It's just tons and tons of people around there, prison guards and things like that. They have a right to take away those bargaining rights if they want to.
So looking at the big picture, if this were to pass, what does that mean for state workers if they can no longer collectively bargain? And what does this do to the unions, too, I guess, ultimately?
Yeah, that's right. Well, one of the tragedies is that you'll see unions just trying to catch up. For us in the UW system, that's not a big deal because we haven't been unionized. We've been trying to catch up now for the past 40 years, but if there's a reduction in pay, you know, maybe 10% reduction in pay, of course, then even if there is a reversal in the election of 2012, which is quite possible, given the makeup of Wisconsin's voting population, once the election is won, if supporters of unionization, whether it be Democrats or Republicans, win both houses, or obviously they won't win the governorship, but if they win both houses, what are they going to do? They'll be fighting to get their payback. You know, they'll have so far to go. They'll have a real steep hill to climb, and this is one of the things that I see in this legislation. They would have to reinstitute collective bargaining as we know it, because the Walker bill really makes it, it's not really collective bargaining anymore. You know, it's a different animal than what we know as normal American collective bargaining. So I think you'd have a really, you'll have a really, really steep hill to climb. And I think that's going to be the reality.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. My guest today is Dr. George Cravens, a geography professor at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. We're talking about his history with labor movements within the UW system. I know Governor Walker has sort of changed his rhetoric over the last week or so in regards to his appreciation for state employees. Some people have criticized the fact that some of them aren't willing to help out in the budget situation. What is your opinion on that? And do you think state employees are doing enough to you know, get us out of this hole?
Well, I think there are state employees and state employees. I remember in 2006, a whole bunch of us appeared before the Joint Finance Committee to try to get them to rescind a cut they were making in our pay. Very, very small. It was a very small increase that had been allocated to us. I think it was 1.5%. And so, of course, we found out that they were going to cut the 1.5% that had been proposed for us. And so we appeared before the Joint Finance Committee to get them to change their mind, and we were just, like, shot down completely. Other unions at that time were getting increases as high as 9%. Because we were not unionized, they took away the 1.5% that we had. We saw case after case after case where UW system workers, both faculty and academic staff, you know, they've been losing. I mean, that's the reality. So it's very hard to say that we haven't done enough when, in fact, we haven't had, we absolutely have, not only have we not gotten anything from the state in the last 10 years, we've lost in every way, including, as you said, the furloughs.
If this bill was to pass and the majority of state workers, excluding police unions, firefighters,
right,
and if they are able to collectively bargain and then the rest of the state employees are not able to collectively bargain, what happens there?
Of course, then you'll see a big increase potentially in their, I'd say, compensation package, wages, benefits, and so on. You probably will see because you're also talking about probably a certain kind of favoritism too. So you'll see significant increases among those workers, and we'll be held flat. We don't know what will happen, but we can. I mean, that's just common sense. We can envision a big difference between those workers and us. My guess, though, is that in 2012, when 2000, late 2011, 2012, when we start the rhetoric of reelecting the assembly, you're going to see a lot of police officers supporting the UW system employees, the garbage collectors, the prison guards. You're going to see a lot of solidarity between the various unions. Why? Because it's too extreme. What's being proposed is extreme. It doesn't help anyone. I mean, for example, let's say we have substantial reduction in pay at UW-La Crosse. La Crosse has two or three institutions that supports it. One is the two medical centers and the UW-La Crosse. Of course, all the schools collectively. You know, but it's very, very limited as far as fairly decent jobs go. Anytime you get a reduction in pay, of course, you're going to get a reduction in the economy and reduction in jobs in some form, spillover jobs, that kind of thing. So I think that you're going to see that across the board, people will see a lot of people crossing the line, so to speak, supporting some kind of politician who's against it. This is pretty extreme, what's being proposed right now. People are going to be opposed to that.
I mean, even down in Madison on Tuesday, there were a handful of firefighter and police union leaders saying they stood in solidarity. And
not surprised.
Firefighters marching through the crowd.
Yeah.
At one point, I saw a firefighter crying. It was
okay. So you were there then?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah, I'm not surprised. This is too deep. It's too even a lot of school superintendents are going to be opposed to this. You know, they're supposed to be representing management. They are. But, you know, we have a history of, I mean, we're not completely blind to the needs of people in the state, as far as I know. When I came here, at least that's one of the reasons why I came here. So you're going to see a lot of solidarity, but we'll just have to see what happens.
Governor Walker had mentioned that people shouldn't be surprised by these actions that he's taking. Do they come as a surprise to you? And I don't know if I could get some comments on his reaction to that statement.
Well, they don't. One of the things that that has always bothered me about the American political system is that very often the vaguest candidate, the people with, you know, just put out a few sound bites, a lot of rhetoric, you know, open for business, that kind of thing, people just vote for him. I mean, so I would say they don't really. The particular extreme nature of this, can we call it? Well, yeah, it's one bill, like it's a so-called budget repair bill. I would have to say, yeah, that That is somewhat surprising, but then, and again, in a way, not surprising. I followed the campaign, and I thought that a lot of the Walker campaign was very vague. And so I kind of assumed that when the fine print came out, it would be pretty unsavory, and it is.
And what about the reaction of all the public workers who are standing up? You know, at Madison on Tuesday, they estimated about 13,000 people showed up to you know, stand up for their rights. Supposedly, there was about 1,000 people in La Crosse also on Tuesday night. How do you feel about the reaction from the workers?
Well, I think the spin on that's going to be that these people are there because it affects them. And this is at least what probably Walker and people who support him are hoping, that, you know, they'll, voters will look at that and they'll say, well, you know, these are crybabies, you know, they've gotten so much over the years and now they're complaining. If you look at all of the elements of budget repair bill, they're so extreme that it could very well be that you have college professors and school teachers and other people who are directly affected, who may be in the forefront of all this right now. But honestly, a lot of people who are not in those professions are going to have problems with this. This is extreme. It's very extreme. And the other thing, too, is that it's not the result of any kind of compromise. When things are just taken from you, there's no discussion, there's no compromise, no alternatives are looked at. In fact, Mike Ellis himself, if I'm not mistaken, said he wished there had been some kind of, you know, alternatives to maybe look. They had looked at alternatives and that sort of thing. Even though he's going to vote, he indicated he's going to vote in favor of it. That's a real bad element. I mean, just a top-down approach where you take away things without any kind of discussion. Now, on the other hand, I'm a skeptic, too. My feeling is that where were they before? I mean, we saw at least some dramatic problems coming. You know, we've seen change in our Supreme Court towards a more corporate Supreme Court. We had a turnout on November 2nd that was much lower than it should have been. Yesterday we had a pathetic 10% turnout. So, you know, so on the other hand, the skeptic in me says, well, what's wrong with people? I mean, you know, get a life. People need to become more involved.
George Cravens is a former statewide union officer. He's a professor of geography at UW La Crosse. He was speaking with Wisconsin Public Radio's Maureen McCollum about efforts by faculty and staff at UWL to unionize and what's been going on in the past week involving collective bargaining for public employees in Wisconsin. We invite you to stay tuned to Wisconsin Public Radio News for the latest on Governor Scott Walker's budget repair bill and its movement through the state legislature. Coming up in the next half hour, an organic farming conference is being held in La Crosse next week. We'll preview it, and we'll talk about some of the issues facing organic farmers. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto.